Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Daniel Mangana. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. And we were just chatting before the show about the joys of living in contrast and polarity and all the fun that comes along with it. But we were also talking about the money game indirectly, Daniel. That's kind of my way of segueing from what you were talking about to what I'm going to talk about.
What?
Because you'll remember.
Once again with the segue master.
Yeah, well, you know, years of practice. But you'll remember last August, I decided I was going to start implementing your ebook, The Money Game, and start playing it round by round. Well, I just completed round one or phase one, the fifth round of phase one. And I wanted to tell you how it happened. First of all, I want to let you know, Daniel, that I actually did notice this time when the money came in. So this was a major improvement, you know.
You the champ, Walt. You the champ.
But I got to tell you how it happened, because the way it happened was freaky. Went to the mailbox, got our mail, threw out the junk mail, handed off stuff to my wife, and then came here into my office to open it up and open my first envelope. Now, my first envelope, I've got it here. You guys can see it. It just has my name and address on it. You can see there's nothing else on it other than a postmark. And I open it up, and all that comes out is a $20 bill.
Nice.
No note, no indication of what it's for. I'm thinking, who would send me a $20 bill? I don't understand. And so I go in to tell my wife about it. And I show her the envelope, and I show her the bill. And we're kind of marveling at it, like, what's this about? What's going on here? And she says, well, that's your money game, isn't it? Well, I said, well, yeah, except that my edge was $110, so it doesn't count. And so she said, well, take me out to dinner. Well, we can't do dinner on that, but we can do part of a dinner. So, okay. So I came back into the office, and I opened the next envelope. The next envelope contained a check for $249 from the company that I used to lease my car from. It's from Toyota, $249.97. What's it for? Property tax refund.
Nice.
What?
I didn't know Toyota.
A property tax refund from a car leasing company.
Right.
This is like.
That would come.
Are you kidding me? Is this like a joke?
Okay. So definitely clues for manifestation happening there.
Yeah.
And on the same day, the same mail delivery. And, you know, so. Well, we're definitely going out for dinner, no doubt about that.
It's like, and, now we getting shrimp. We getting shrimp today. Right. We getting shrimp.
In my wife's case, it's probably scallops or perhaps duck. I'm not sure. But anyway, the point is.
Two delightful choices.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
But either way you look at it, I mean, first of all, I finished phase one. So that's really the cool part. Mm-hmm. I'm on to phase two, which is where. Obviously, this is my new edge, the 249 plus 20%, because that's the way you got phase two structure. So really, my new edge is $300. Okay, so I know what my next edge is. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I started this August 13th, 2020. This actually happened a couple days ago. So it took 5 months and 6 days to get through phase one. Okay, mm-hmm. So that kind of gave me an idea of, you know, how much resistance I've got built up, how much I've been knocking down and so forth. That's cool. You know, it's kind of useful to have that information. Now, the curious thing for me is going to be to see how quickly do I get through phase two? Because you know what? I have a feeling it's going to be faster.
Momentum, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like what your book is all about is it's about learning to recognize the stuff that is coming in and get excited about it. And in so doing, you get yourself into that place of expectation, right? Mm-hmm. So that, and that's what I think has been happening by playing this little game this way. My expectation has increased. So I'm expecting that I'm going to rip through phase two faster than I went through phase one. We'll see.
Nice.
What happens. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe because you're actually going to be looking.
Yeah, well, that'll also help. Yes. It does help if you pay attention to the money coming in. That's just a, you know, a little tip to somebody who might be having trouble. Just so I figured, you know, that's a good monetary manifestation story to start the show with, don't you think?
Nice.
Agreed.
Yeah. A lot more positive than the polarity stuff we were talking about mm-hmm. before the show. I also have an email for us to go over. Now, this is actually related to a show that Dean and I did. Actually, I think it was about a week ago.
About a week ago.
Sorry. No, that's all right.
It
included something that kind of reflected on what we were talking about last week and that we've actually been talking about on a number of the shows. She made a suggestion in her email regarding something I have been talking about, which is building lists of things to do, like the money game, to build your vibe up, get yourself into a high flying place and stay there as often as you possibly can. And she sent me a list of the things that she likes to do. So I figured, why don't I share with you guys what she came up with? You guys can add in whatever you want to that you tend to do that you like to do as a go-to thing whenever you're trying to get your vibe raised. And perhaps maybe we can include other readers or not readers, other listeners of the podcast who maybe want to share their list. Maybe just by sharing all of our lists, maybe we become inspired, you know, to actively use the items on the list. How's that for a novel idea?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Don't know about that. Yeah, that's a little scary, huh? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you actually find out, oh my God, do I really believe this stuff? Mm-hmm. Kind of scary. So yeah, let me just share you some of the things that she had on her list. First of all, this is a good one. I wish I had put this one on my list. In fact, I'm going to add it to my list. Dance.
Oh,
she
yeah.
says,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
She says it might start off as an unconvincing, self-conscious shuffle around the kitchen with the dog looking weirdly at you, but the momentum soon builds. She says personal favorites of hers tend to be Latin-based, especially salsa, such as Carla Vives' Tierra del Olvido. So she's into the Latin dances. You guys into dance? I mean, I can tell you are just because of what you do here on the show, but look at Daniel. He's getting into dance without even... You just hear the music in your head? Is that what you're doing?
I am the music. Well,
you are the music. Uh-huh.
Yo soy el musica.
All right. Okay. Point taken. I should have realized that, but that's okay. Okay. More on her list. Listen to the most uplifting music I know, which is something that's on my list too. Mm-hmm. One of my personal favorites, she says, is Yo-Yo Ma soaring and ethereally, naturally taking you to a higher place. She gave a YouTube example of his music. And I have to say, Yo-Yo Ma on the cello, that is an uplifting experience. Have you ever listened much to Yo-Yo Ma's stuff?
I'm classically trained, so I was forced to.
You're forced to?
You're classically trained to do what now?
Clarinet, violin, bass clarinet.
Okay.
Okay. Learn something new
today.
Yeah. I'm cool like that.
Okay. So you say you were forced to. Does that mean it's not really your cup of tea? You just kind of put up with it?
Yeah, I just kind of put up with it till I was old enough to change the station.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the answer to my question is not by choice.
Not by choice. It wouldn't be the music I would pick as uplifting for me to dance to.
So well, I don't think anybody dances to Yo-Yo Ma anyways.
Well, you can.
I suppose.
Very slowly, but you can.
A one and a two.
You could waltz to Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah, he probably plays waltz tempo stuff.
I'm not really sure that's what he had intended.
No.
Probably not.
It's not.
No.
I'm just saying. It's possible.
Sacrilege.
So what kinds of music do you like to dance to and to listen to? Actually, it doesn't have to be dancing. It can also be just, you know, listening to get yourself a
little bit
of a place.
Well, for me, it's one and the same.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yes. Dancing and listening to. My favorite is probably 90s to early 2000s hip-hop and R&B.
Okay. Any particular favorites in there?
A lot of Ludacris, Missy Elliott. Exactly.
When music was still music.
From Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Daniel, you got any favorites? I mean, I know you croon half of them here on the show, but...
Hey, we don't croon.
Oh, we don't do crooning anymore?
Okay, I was trying to think of another way to frame my crooning because
we can go with whatever word you want. It's quite all right with me.
Let's just croon.
Serenade.
Serenade, I like that.
To know why everyone's laughing, you should be following us on YouTube and watching this live. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way that we do that, Alex is going to explain to us now because I'm not as good at segues as Walt and mine normally fall flat on their face.
So if you want to follow us on YouTube, go to YouTube, search LOA Today podcast videos, look for our smiling faces. Once you see them, click down below to the red subscribe button. Next to the red subscribe button, there's a little silver bell. Click that silver bell so you will always be notified when we are live.
Beautiful. So yeah, well done.
I also like some R&B, although it's now in the UK, they had this whole thing where they stopped calling it R&B and started calling it urban music.
Yeah, we went through that phase.
And then I think it became contemporary, and now it's not R&B anymore. It's just, well, it's not R&B anymore, is it? It's like weird synth sounds.
Yep.
And Drake.
Yep. Facts.
It's like, I'm a rapper, but I'm going to sing with an auto tune.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do and talk about sex with random women, getting drunk and spending money that I don't really have because the music industry doesn't really pay as well as they give you the illusion that it does. It's quite disheartening. So I go back to older music that's real music, but I like real instruments. Mm-hmm. Like I can hear a chord. And a voice, not an auto-tune computerized.
Yes.
I'm with you. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that completely. Do you have any particular favorites?
Without the explanation, no, I have no favorites.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Hey, as long as you like it and listen to it, it doesn't really matter.
Is it because you're all-inclusive, or why don't you have any favorites?
I don't have any favorite things.
Oh.
I don't understand favoritisms. Something's functional or it's not. You are more functional than the other thing, therefore you will have more of my energy. I don't get it.
See, I don't look at it that way. I just look at it as, if I like playing it over and over again, that's a favorite. It doesn't mean that I don't like it more than someone
else. I get obsessions with things. So don't get me wrong. Okay. I do like some electronic music. I love these crazy guys from Brighton called Bonobo. They make some really cool grooves that sometimes I listen to on repeat. But that's normally because something's got caught in a loop in my head and I have to put it on repeat in order to satiate the loop.
Yeah.
It's an autistic thing. Alex knows what I'm talking about. But it's not like, oh, that's my song. They playing my song. I don't have that.
that was perfect.
Yeah. It's more like I've got my song on repeat because I don't want to drill a thing in my head. So I'm going to play this. Avoid the drilling, and that's how it goes.
For me, that's what playlists are for. You just put it on the playlist and click and you're done.
Yeah, I've got this this really cool musician from the UK called Tom Misch. He's like a savant. He plays like a million and one different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like amazing on the guitar, and he does like these really groovy grooves. And during when COVID quarantine really kicked in, he did the quarantine sessions where he did remixes of like popular songs, and he does like little guitar licks. I'll shoot you a link. He did one of Teen Spirit that I had on repeat for about 2 days.
I love Teen Spirit.
Yeah. He loops, so he creates loops on the guitar. So he'll do the first like ding, 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 and then he added like some little like weird alien sounds, and then he does these licks over the top. Ding, ding.
Oh my God, I'm super excited right now.
So, but say he makes instruments sing, but he can do sax, I think, keys, drums, guitar. Mm-hmm. But like, not like I can fumble my way through those instruments, but he can make every single one of them sing for glory. It's amazing.
That's impressive. That's not an easy skill to have. And I'm with you on that one. I like and appreciate musicians who really know how to make an instrument sing. That's the way I phrase it. Yeah. There are some people who just know how to get a better tune out of an instrument. That's just the way it is. So going back to Deborah's list, next thing she had on there was something I'm not really into. I don't know if either of you guys are. I'm kind of guessing you're not. She's into running.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, real. I'm actually allergic to running.
You're allergic to running?
I'm allergic to running. So, like, the weirdest thing happens when I go running. I start getting beads of sweat, and then, like, I can't catch my breath. It's the weirdest thing. I'm allergic to running. I can't do it.
Well, I like apparently, to walk on the treadmill.
I like walking too.
But then I injured myself walking, so I stopped doing that. So I use the bike or the elliptical machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm more of an elliptical in person myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I feel like I'm working more body groups than just
you
walking.
Are. It's more effective.
Yeah. See,
the bike is the worst because you're sitting here stationary if you're using a stationary bike. But I got one and I've got it on my balcony so I can look out at the sunrise and do the bike or flip it and look at the sunset.
Okay.
Something's better than nothing.
Yeah, that is good. That's very good.
But people do love running, great endorphins and whatnot.
Exactly. Well, and she cites the endorphins as being the thing that kicks in and makes you feel really good afterward. That's the
Oh, that runner's that. High.
The runner's high, yeah.
Never experienced it.
Fools. One of my clients, though, one of the guys in Micro to Billions, he does like a half marathon every week.
Wow.
But he set himself the thing of doing 50 marathons by the age of 50, and he's done like 111 marathons in 70 countries.
Wow.
But he does long distance running every week. He's amazing.
Well, God bless him, because it wouldn't be me.
Yeah, I feel that he does my running for me. I feel that as we're all connected.
He's running for me too.
I think we're all connected.
Yeah.
You sound like my wife justifying eating sugar. That's exactly the way she looks at it. Like, you know, I feel good about eating the sugar, so it's not going to put any weight on me.
And if that's the belief you're holding, then long may it continue.
It works great until she goes to the doctor. But
just stay away from the doctor. Put your head in the sand.
That's right.
That's the answer.
Problem solved. Right there. Boom.
Problem solved.
And then next item on her list is something that you reacted with last week, Daniel, when I told you about the ARAS and how one of the senses bypasses it, essential oils. That was one of her things on her list, essential oils. She says, first of all, she liked the information that smell is the one sense that bypasses the ARAS. She says it makes total sense. She also gave us a link to a David Strickland podcast where his guests talk about the importance of the purity of essential oil and how they affect you. I don't know if you're, I mean, you mentioned essential oils, Daniel. Do you know much about them? How big are you on them?
I got it once. Someone explained to me how to use them efficiently, and I got it. We use essential oils a lot in the house because Olga's obsessed with nice smells. So she's got one of those doTERRA things that's always spitting out.
Oh, yep.
Smells.
You have those too, Alex?
Nope, but I'm aware of them. I have a friend.
You're aware of them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got that. We've got that in the house, which is pretty cool.
All right. Good stuff. She did put mirror work on her list. That's an interesting choice. I mean, I applaud her for putting it on her list of things to do. It's one, though, that a lot of people kind of have resistances to, shall we say, because it's a little bit tough the first few times you do them. But it is. But she's also an enthusiast now. She had been hearing me talking about them for, you know, forever and decided to try them. And within 2 days, you'll remember last week, we talked about within 2 days that she had gotten this huge, huge improvement from them. So she put them on her list. So good for her. That's good. Now here's one that is not going to be on everybody's list. I'll be curious to see if it's on either of your lists. It's not on mine, but she likes a hot bath. Lights out, candles lit, cup of wine or tea, music, audiobook. She labels it as bliss.
Agreed.
I am too. I do enjoy a nice bath. Some salt, some Epsom salts, a little Dead Sea salt, some Himalayan sea salt, a little lavender oil in there. Some olive oil helps the skin. Just saying.
Word to Big Bird.
And Small Bird also, if they are not yet in the bath game, they should be also converted. Everyone needs a bath.
You made sounds like it seemed to me with the sounds you were making, Alex, were that you also like doing this, like it's an activity for you when you want to raise five?
I go on and off about it because on the one hand, yes, I do like a nice bath. It's very, you know, it's comforting. It's relaxing. And then on the other hand, I'm like, I'm just sitting in my own dirt.
I have a shower first. I have a shower first. I get that.
Okay.
That
did make, I so thought I was the only one who did that. Okay.
No. I have the shower first to clean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the bath isn't for cleaning. It's for, I put some magnesium salts in there sometimes to detox and whatnot. But ultimately, I'm there for healing, not cleansing.
Okay.
That's a good strategy, actually.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, shower first. Don't sit in your own filth, because that's just weird.
For real.
Do you do just the bath, or do you also do the oils and the candles and all that kind of stuff?
I don't think I don't have the shelving for it.
Okay.
Please. Do you do the candles?
Well, like I said, it's not on my list. It's not one of my favorite things to do. So
I will do a glass of wine, though.
I'm taking advantage of the fact that this is a podcast, so most people can't see my face, so it's not a big deal.
It's just like, don't look at me.
That's true.
So I wanted to put a hot tub on my roof.
Really?
Yeah, we've got the piping for a hot tub, but Olga said no, so I didn't do it.
Oh.
Yeah, Kenny wants to put one in our backyard. I said no, so we're not doing it.
So, but we have to move house. Well, the thing is because she wanted to move and she didn't. I wanted to get it back end of last year. She wanted to move. And I was like, I quite like it here. But now the house isn't big enough for everyone. So I need to get a bigger place. So I'm going to get a bigger place. I'm going to get one with a hot tub outside.
Nice.
But it's going to be a house now. We're not going to be condo. We're going to definitely get a house next.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yay. Yeah, we're going to have a house next for sure.
All right. Yeah, no more disturbing contractor work going on upstairs or whatever.
No more of that. Yeah. None.
Yeah, that'll be good. That's a good way to also release stress. Move away from the contractor.
Yeah, they were done and then they tried to kick off again with something yesterday. I was like, I have a podcast in like 5 minutes, please. Please. And they stopped.
Nice.
They started again later.
Good.
So my telepathic powers worked a little bit, but still some way to go with it.
Well, just work on it. You're building your edge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's okay. So let's see. Next on Deborah's list, petting the dog, whether he wants me to or not.
I can co-sign with that. Yep.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Including the last part, whether he wants you to or not?
Oh, my dog always wants to.
Oh, well, that makes it easy.
No, can't say that because Chloe is very finicky. She's more of a cat than a dog. So she wants you on her time, not your time.
I know all about that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, Joy. Everything has to be Joy's idea. Otherwise, forget it. It's not happening. Yeah.
I don't get it.
You have to have a cat in order to know. I mean, it's just that simple.
You have to have a cat or a dog to know. I've had a rabbit before.
Well...
That's not as exciting.
They're cute and fluffy, and I was like 12.
And they poop everywhere.
No, they poop in the hay, and then you just clean it out.
Yeah, but if you let them out to like get pet and stuff, they have no regard for your floors.
I didn't, and they'd all run in the garden.
Oh, you had them outside, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then that's fine.
I'm glad we have Alex's seal of approval on this.
Exactly.
Yes.
My life can continue now. Muchas gracias.
You're welcome.
Oh, she also points out she likes to pet dogs. She says cats too, of course. So good luck with that if they're not in the mood. And yes, I totally
get that. This is what I'm saying. That's why I'm a dog person.
Again, it also depends on what your perspective is. See, in my perspective is, oh, good, I don't have to give the cats attention right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because our cats are so needy for attention, you know, the break is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as good as petting the cat. So it just depends on the perspective is all. Okay, what do we have on the next item on her list? Oh, calling a friend.
Yep.
She said, I resisted yesterday going by the Abraham rule of not talking about something you don't want to repeat. But when I talked over the frustrations of my day, including Otto, my dog, rolling in badger poo, that's one smell I would quite be quite happy not to have my RAS bypass.
Oh, my God.
I found myself laughing at myself and how I take it all so seriously. Yeah, sure. I mean, badger poo?
I don't want to know what badger poo smells like.
I want to know what anybody's poo smells like.
But do you know what's really weird?
What's that?
I actually don't smell Ethan's poo smelling bad. It's like flowers to me.
Sure.
Well, yeah, that's your kid.
That's association. Yeah,
no, his mum's like, he stinks. I'm like, no, he smells like flowers and rainbows. Like, I, yeah, there's some weird parent stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's about
it. I think it's actually normal. I really do. I mean, different people are going to respond to different things.
I like to sniff him all the time.
Well, that's a little bit weird. Okay, now we're in Weirdville, no doubt.
Nope, that's apparently.
Sometimes you see him look up at me like, dude.
What are you doing?
Shh.
Like a good wife at the end of the day.
That's it.
Ah, all right. I love it. Okay. Next on Deborah's list, make a cup of tea. She says, well, I am English, and it really is our answer to absolutely everything. And you know what? It really is comforting. Now, Daniel, you grew up in the UK. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you actually avail yourself of it?
Nah, I don't really do caffeinated drinks.
Not even the decafs?
Nah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not really in it.
Not on your list.
Olga's obsessed with it. She wants a cup of tea several times a day. We've got all these different fancy teas. It's black tea for one part of the day, fruit tea for here, green tea for there. But she has green tea with milk.
Isn't that
okay?
Yeah. Every tea, fruit teas, we had like some blueberry and raspberry tea and all that. She still has it with milk.
Terrorist.
Thank you.
Terrorist.
Thank you for validating. Thank you for validating the weirdness of it all.
Different strokes for different folks. I guess that's the best way I can say to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next on the list. Also in the range of drinking a glass of good wine.
Hello.
Either of you into that as a way of high vibing?
Down, grooving down, definitely. Versus whoop whoop. It's more like whoop whoop.
Ah, okay. Let's see, what does she say about it? She says, a glass of good wine, maybe not if it's in the morning, and actually savoring it. Mm-hmm. She says, I personally see nothing wrong with having a couple of glasses as long as I'm genuinely enjoying it and not glugging it back in quantities just to numb myself.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. Yeah,
I like having a glass of wine in the tub. But other than that, I'm not really a drinker, so.
Mm. Yeah, me neither.
But it's got to be like something really fruity, almost to the point where it's like, is this even alcohol?
Ah.
That's how it has to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Louise does what they call the virgin drinks, the non-alcohol version. She likes
the mocktails.
The flavors. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Something else on Deborah's list. Watching birds. Now, I can't say that's honestly on my list.
Sorry, can't co-sign.
I do like seeing cardinals in the spring just because I kind of associate cardinals in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But birds aren't really. I mean, do you have many birds at all, even at the beach, Daniel? We got seagulls, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm not really into that bird stuff.
Not into birds. Okay. Well, she says I find really focusing on them, how they sway on the branch in the wind, how the tree bows in seeming acceptance of them when they land on it. I find I can lose myself quite easily and start almost feeling as they do, or at least my interpretation of it. So, okay.
I can watch the waves.
Yeah, oh, I love that.
Me too.
I can watch waves. And I can watch the clouds. We get some really interesting cloud formations sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like aliens are descending sometimes.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm definitely a wave person. I'm with you on that one. When we go to the beach, I it's not just looking at them. I love listening. I love listening to the way the water laps. When you, you hear that roar of the wave coming in and it just kind of swooshes along the beach. I love that sound. I can listen to that for hours. I do listen to that for hours. That's what I do most of the time at the beach, is listen to the surf coming in.
Yep. So. I didn't start paying attention to that until you had said something during a podcast one time.
Really?
Next time I went to the beach, I was like, oh, Walt is right. This is peaceful. I never noticed it before, because every time we go to the beach, there's a lot of people there. But now I go to my private beach and I can actually hear the waves.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a kind of a variation on white noise. White noise is scientifically proven to calm you down. Well, that's kind of what ocean sound is, you know.
Mm.
It's not quite white noise, but it's close. So, yeah. Okay, what does she have on her list next? She says, reread a favorite uplifting but not too demanding book. She said, I recently reread some of my childhood favorites, such as Little Princess and The Secret Garden. And was once again bewitched by and swept away in the magic. What was the ooh?
The Secret Garden is a favorite of mine.
You like that one too?
Okay. Yeah.
I believe it or not, I had not heard of that one. I just saw the movie for the first time, one of the versions of the movie for the first time this year when Louise showed it to me. And it was pretty good.
Which version did you watch?
Yeah, which version?
Oh God, I don't remember who the actors were, and it was
how
the
old
mid
is it?
1990s, so it's like 5 years old.
Yes,
that's the one too.
That's
it was good. Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, now I gotta watch it again. Oh, that just washed over me. Oh my God, that good feeling. Oh man,
and I asked, was
great when that came out, and it was so good. It was just
wow. I asked Louise if she'd ever read the book, and she hadn't. So I actually got her the book for Christmas.
As well. Oh,
yeah. So she could actually read the original too. I mean, I haven't looked at it yet, but compared to the movie. But I have to admit, that movie was really good. It was very good. Okay. Next thing on her list, make something with my own hands. Anything, even if you're completely shit at it, as I am. The momentum of it can soon take over, be it a cake, a picture, or a scale model of the Taj Mahal out of matchsticks.
Wow.
Okay.
That's dedication.
Yeah. I don't think I have ever wanted to make a scale model of the Taj Mahal out of matchsticks, but you go, Deborah. Go for it.
I used to make stuff, and then my dreams got dashed, and now I do nothing.
Maybe
you do something about that.
I would do something about that, but I'm still with the trauma. I can't yet.
You just can't let go of it.
No, I can't. I'm still too mad.
Oh my God!
What happened? I was building a very elaborate supernatural puzzle. Me and Kenny were building it over the course of our relationship. We started it like a week after we started dating. We had it all laid out on the table. His sister comes over with her 5 kids. The 5 kids decide, oh, this puzzle looks better apart than it does together. And took it apart piece by piece. I come upstairs. It's all upside down. It's pieces everywhere. Nothing goes with nothing. I'm still upset. I can't.
Is this why you're happy to have children that you can give back?
Yep. And that was just another reminder.
I can see why you would have that stance, to be honest.
Yeah.
Still, though, hanging on to that.
It only happened a year ago.
About a year ago.
Good reference. And for a while, I couldn't even clean up the puzzle pieces. Literally, it was just sitting on the table.
Oh,
just askew. And I was just like, and I just shoved it all in the back in the box. And I can't even look at the box on the shelf.
Oh, wow.
To the point where now Harry Potter, Kenny got me a Harry Potter 3D model for of like the train and like the The Snitch. And it's really cool, and I want to put it together, but can't do it.
I think you need to work on that one.
I will work on it in my own time.
Okay.
Now you're just dealing with the stuff.
I just want to be mad right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, have fun with that.
Thank you. I
don't know what else to say.
Here if you need us.
Right. Yeah.
Without a puzzle.
Well, thanks. Well, I appreciate it. I think I'm going to start off with a simple puzzle. Work my way back up to 500.
That makes sense. Well, it also fits in with the next item on her list, too, by the way.
Start small?
The next item on her list is tidying up your environment. Once again, you might not feel like it, but it makes you personally feel so much better.
I agree. And for people who are control freaks, it's a great thing to clean up your own space. And like, it gives you that sense of control where you're like, okay, this goes there and that looks better. And now everything's where it should be.
Is that like an Asperger's thing?
More of an OCD thing.
Just OCD. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, if it helps you feel high vibe, I don't care. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, if it makes you high vibe, it makes you high vibe.
Yeah.
Now she does go conventional for a moment here. She says she likes to gratitude journal, but only if you're feeling it, at least a little bit. She reminds us that Joel Elston is the one who motivated her into actually keeping one. In fact, checking out Joel's story and Facebook page is an inspiration in and of itself. Wonderful chap that he is. I have to agree with that. In fact, if you can become a friend of Joel and you're not already a friend of his, you'll get like a stream of stuff coming through your Facebook. Just one positive, uplifting thing after another. Mixed in with a few messages about, you know, get off your butt and actually do something. I agree. Following Joel's a good thing. She says, write just to get the thoughts out. I find just scribbling without any attempt at analyzing feels as if it's making a clear space for new and more welcome ones to come in. Just blurting out whatever comes up without judgment and letting it go. Which I guess is what true journaling is all about. Do you guys do any journaling?
I do.
Nope.
I didn't, and now I do because it's wonderful.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't used to. Like, okay, I'm going to write things down. Okay, cool.
What changed?
I had a structure for it, and the structure made sense.
Ah.
And after that, I was like, oh, I guess I should keep doing something that appears to be a functioning activity. Keeping that one up. And that's what happened. And now I journal daily.
That's cool. That's very good. I have to admit, that was something that I never really enjoyed doing, largely because most people talk about journaling with pen and paper. Mm-hmm. And I cramp up so easily when I write with a pen and paper. I love keyboards. Mm-hmm. I was really glad when the first computer came along. It was like, thank God. Now I didn't have to do any more handwriting. You know, so when they came up with this idea of journaling, I said, oh, God, do I really have to? that's the way it always felt to me. So I never really got into it. But I know a lot of people get a lot of benefit out of it. A lot of people have gotten it's a great way to let go of stuff. It's a great way to kind of open things up, you know, let the stuff, the old stuff spill out and clear out the pipes, so to speak. So I'm in favor of it. I just don't do it. Okay. And that's her list. So. That was a pretty good list. Anything you guys can add to the list that you do that, you know, is a go-to thing for you?
Sound frequency healing.
Ooh,
I've heard about that.
Have I never sent you guys the link to my mate Greg? He's got some really cool stuff.
No,
listen to the music and it's tuned in to use sound to literally rebalance your chakras. And if you listen to the whole thing, it's like really pleasant music as well. And Ethan loves it. We play it at night sometimes. And you just see him just go. So literally the music does the work of just grooving you up. It's really cool. Yeah, Signs. S-I-N-E-S. Signs. He's got it all free to stream as well. Mm-hmm. You can buy it. I bought it as well. But you can stream it free on Spotify and stuff. It's really groovy.
Okay. What's his name again?
His name is Greg Papagna. But Signs, S-I-N-E-S, Signs Music. And they're really, they've got some tech that they're doing that I'm actually invested in. They've got headphones that's got everything pre-programmed into it. So you can actually have the pre-programmed stuff and some other cool tech around it.
Does he also do music to manifest to?
Here's the thing. So my visualizations, he produces the music for me. So he does variations of it because basically what you can do is your third energy center is the one that actually charges up your manifestation. Mm-hmm. People think it's the fourth. The fourth connects you to the emotion, but it's the third that actually pushes the intention out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to the tracks in relation to the solar plexus, the third energy center, whilst doing visualization and so on and so forth, it will do the work.
Okay, because I think I had heard about this before. Kenny was trying to get me into something, some really expensive headphones that were going to help him manifest. And I was like, bro, get out of my face with that. Like,
he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was
go
like,
on Spotify. Go on Spotify. Should do this. Because at the end of the day, all that the sound is going to do is it's going to support the work that you're doing.
Because
it's going to work your energy field so the energy field can hold the vibration of the thing.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, if that was the case, everybody would be doing it. It's not that easy.
They probably are doing it, but they're not going to be getting anywhere. I'm tuned in to my relationship whilst I sit here meditating all day and not connecting with any human. Why isn't he here yet? Oh, God. I put a line about that. I put a cheeky line about that in my TED Talk. The snake oil instant gratification will have their reckoning. Who knows if we'll make it, but it's there. So we'll see in September.
All right. Okay. What is there a particular theme, a particular point that you're making with your TED Talk?
Yes.
Can you give us a heads up, or is
that I was waiting for
that. I don't know. Maybe it's not a lot. Maybe you're like, you know, hiding it until
no, it's a surprise.
Yeah.
So the through line, which is the general crux of the talk, is how expectation creates our reality, and how humanity's overall development is being impeded by the limitations that we as individuals have on what we expect to happen.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good way. I like that.
Now that's a TED Talk.
So yeah, I'm talking about some manifestation stuff without talking about manifestation, basically.
That's how you do it.
Because you can't go up there and be like, let us all connect to Sirius B and channel the energy of manifestation. Like, dude, get off the stage. Get out of here. The people must know that the stars are aligned.
Yeah, you got to sneak it in there like vegetables.
Yeah, we're going to do some, you know, some real science around it. The power of choice, why sitting around on your butt doesn't really do anything. A bit more of my story because it's very personal. And I'm excited.
That's good. I do think you should include that little bit that you just did there. About, you know, the manifestation and all that. You should include that because that would get a good laugh out of the audience.
Okay, done. This part of my talk is sponsored by LOA Today. The signs! I implore you to go and get the app. The signs! I'll plug you, don't worry. I've got you, bro.
I love it. Not quite what I was looking for, but it's great. I'm enjoying it.
But yeah, this is actually the process of creating the talk. It's been really interesting because I've been an off the cuff, even when I've done keynotes before, I've always been bulleted. So I know intro, narrative, blah, 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 story, content, blah, blah, blah. And I just go and just sort of freestyle it against the bullets. But curating like a talk where I really am really put months of consideration into every line is really, I'm really enjoying it. So I'm looking forward to doing more curated speaking in 2021.
Well, it sharpens your own mind when you do that.
Yeah. I
mean, you're really having to focus in on what's the pith, what's the essence of this thing that I'm going to talk to you guys about. Yeah. That's a powerful exercise to do, no doubt. I'm not doing, with my talk that I'm putting together, I'm not trying to do anything nearly like that. But even with what I'm doing, I mean, I'm basically going to do what you talked about, you know, doing the bullet point thing. And even that does focus the mind, but breaking it down, getting it down to, you know, what does this sentence say and how does it actually contribute? Yeah, that's
what's intense. The energy behind it? What am I seeking to communicate?
Yeah, really, really good. I'm looking forward to seeing your talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really am. That's good. All right. Well, thank you very much for that little bit of a heads up about what it's going to look like. I think you've intrigued the listeners too. They're probably going to want to see it. I wanted to share the last bits of Deborah's email of her, after her list, she gave a few other pointers that she had picked up and just wanted to share a couple of them. Let's see. Excuse me, I'm kind of scrolling through here. She writes very long emails. Oh, yes. She says, finally, yes, this time is most definitely an opportunity for all of us to really take responsibility for our vibration and so for our world. Being forcibly thrown out of what can so often become the humdrum complacency and lethargy of our normal treadmill lives, a space from which growth is slow at best, really, really can serve us. I absolutely know it has been enormously valuable for me personally. And after all, we choose to incarnate at this particular time for a reason. I find that thought really helpful, as I know that it's true and makes me even more determined to be sure that I am really looking for it and aiming to live up to that reason, as Dean said. If we look for it, we will find it. I thought that was a great way to finish off her email. I mean, that's appreciation for what we're going through in a big, big way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kudos to you, Deborah. That's really important. That's how you get through all this stuff. It doesn't even feel like stuff anymore, right? Yeah. Now it just feels like, wow, this is my next opportunity.
Right.
Very different vibration. Very different. So. Anything more you guys have to add to the list that we kind of put together like a group list here today? But anything more to add to the list?
I like watching things that are good vibe.
Yeah, I was going to say watching a high vibe situation or just something I'm in the mood to watch. Like right now, I'm going back through Stargate SG-1 from the beginning.
Wow. And okay.
I really enjoyed the show. It's like, it makes me feel good to just watch this show. I've seen it before, so I'm not. Yeah. Draining my brain. I'm just enjoying an adventure into fantasy. Or is it fantasy? The science! But I'm just having that and enjoying it, and it feels really good.
I'm going to check that one out. I haven't seen that show in ages. I mean,
yeah, from the beginning, that'd be cool. 15 years ago or something.
Yeah, like yeah, it's been a while.
It's been, so we watched the movie. Olga had me talking about the movie. She hadn't seen it. I was like, what's going on with your life? So we watched the movie. And she was like, okay, I've watched it now. Can we stop talking about this weirdness? I'm like, yeah, but I'm high. I want to watch the show. And so I've been watching it.
Nice.
So I'm doing the streams boot camp. So when I'm doing night shift with Ethan, we do some boot camp. I'm doing a lucid dreaming course. So I do that. And then we watch an episode or two of Stargate until it's time to go to bed.
By the way, I wanted to ask you about boot camp. We've had a couple of guests on in the past who have talked about their experience with boot camp after the fact. You're in the middle of it right now. Of course, you also have your background. You have a lot of experience and so forth. So you bring some tools to the table, so to speak, that others might not have when they first get involved in it. But what are your impressions of what it's like from within that boot camp experience now that you're doing it?
Well, I actually came in dropping everything that I knew and as much as possible staying quite diligently to the tools that he's giving us with the program. So I'm kind of dropped a lot of my stuff. There's some stuff I'm still doing, but mainly doing that stuff. And it's really interesting to see the shifts that happen quite instantly.
Really?
When you just do a quick zoom out or when your day's getting a bit flustered. Like, for example, like this whole thing of the wires getting canceled, that's like trigger central for me. It's very simple. Really? Okay. You just call them up. But for me, it's like I have to go on the phone and then I have to do the security thing and I want to have a meltdown. And I've just been like taking it in my groove. And I know that it's because of the new perspective.
Nice.
So for me, I'm seeing very real day to day. Like with me, ask me to solve the country's debt crisis, I'm going to be absolutely fine. I'll groove in eating a Twizzler. Absolutely fine. Like everyday stuff, like cars late, missing a plane, like that's when I want to cry and like go into an absolute puddle of goop. So it's been good.
Well, that actually makes sense because, I mean, yeah, people probably get involved in this because they're trying to manifest big stuff, mm-hmm. but it's the day-to-day stuff that we're really trying to manage. And I like that fact about what David tries to do and what the stream tries to do, yeah. getting us to, you know, be in that moment-to-moment space. So that's, mm-hmm. that's a cool report.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to continuing the journey. I have had a week or two when I wasn't as active with it. And it is better to stick with it like every few days, watch one every few days. Mm. So I'll be back up to date with where I want to be soon. Like I watched like two yesterday and sort of did my work and did the homework and stuff. But I'm really looking forward to being on the other side of it and seeing where we're at completely.
That's another key point too. This is self-directed, isn't it? You're basically moving at your pace, whatever fits your schedule.
Yeah. That's it.
Does that work? Do you think that's an effective way?
So it limits, like you can't rush ahead, it drip feeds them. So you only get like a couple, so that it forces you to actually move. You can't like rush ahead. You have to take a pace with it. And like you get calls with like a mentor and stuff like that. And so it's not just here's some stuff, go and do it. It's, there's a lot of support and there's the calls every week. And so there's a lot of space to connect as well as doing the self-directed, but it's not pressured. It's do it at your own pace, but they do check, hey, doesn't look like you're moving that fast. What's going on? How can we support you? Where you at? Blah, blah, blah. So
kind of a mix. That's a nice mix too. Yeah, yeah. That's good. Cause we need that too. We need that human contact.
Yes.
We need that human connection when we're learning, especially when we're learning something new. I mean, yeah. I know I'm like the worst of it when it comes to, I'm just going to dive in and learn it myself. That's like my normal thing to do. And then I'll try to do a piece of it with somebody else and I learn like 25 times faster. Now you would think that I would learn that I learn faster when I do that, but I don't necessarily learn that part. I don't know why.
You don't learn that that's how you learn.
I don't learn. Yeah. I don't learn that that's how I learn, but I'm learning better about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is really important. I think that's one of the reasons I like the idea of doing this podcast, because even if I'm not really good at it, I can help somebody else to do it better. Oh, God. All right. Well, this is good stuff. How about you, Alex? Anything more that you wanted to add to our list of things that, you know, I don't know what you have as your go-to list. Do you keep a list on the wall like I do, or someplace that you can go to if you're not feeling it that day, you're out of vibe, you're in a low vibe place?
I talk to myself out loud.
You do?
Yeah. I'm like, all right. So what's the problem? How are we going to fix it? What do we want to do? Do we want to sit here and be mad, or do we want to watch an episode of Supernatural and get out of our head for a little bit?
So this is like Alex's self-tough love.
Yeah. I've been through years and years of therapy, so I have the tools. Okay.
I love it. There may be some therapy-led support that I now have to give myself around this particular series of challenges. So let's watch some Supernatural and then go and do it.
Exactly.
I love it. It's still, that Supernatural is still the go-to then.
Still, even though, oh man, it ended, but.
Yeah, but it ended.
But I'm still watching the old episodes.
But it didn't drag on forever with weirdness. It ended.
It ended.
I'm not clear if this is a good thing or not. I'm kind of waiting to see.
They didn't drag it on.
Yeah, like. To the
point where it's like, all right, are we done yet? It's getting stale.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Are you done?
It didn't get stale. That's the good thing.
Yeah, it didn't get stale. It got weird in some point, places, you know, but.
Like the Leviathan season?
I don't really want to talk about that.
Nobody does. Nobody wants to talk about season seven.
They got back. What's important is they got back on track.
Yes, they did.
And stopped being weird.
We were like, cut it out, guys, seriously.
It's like, really? You make a good show. Stop not making a good show and go back to making a good show. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. thing.
Well, they listened. That was good. They listened.
They always
right?
listen to the fans. They do.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Thank you for not being silly, because we give you your ratings. Okay.
We're the writers that don't get paid. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's what makes any series work, I guess. Because it's really the best fans that, you know, any no matter what kind of series you're talking about, that's what a good series does. It gives the fans what they're asking for.
Because it was supposed to end season 5, and we made it all the way to 15, so.
Whoa.
It was meant to.
Yeah, the apocalypse was supposed to be the last episode. Swan Song.
How fascinating. Yeah, how did it get past the end of the universe?
Sam came back.
And Dean went to hell.
Well, Dean went to hell season 4. But then we rescued him.
Oh, yeah, we rescued him because he's the one that kicked off. Anyway,
yep,
I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's been 15 years and they haven't seen it. That's their fault.
Yeah, so he's the one that kicked everything off.
Yep, exactly. It was supposed to be his father, but it turned out to be him.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled. That's good. This is an important point. Hey, I do want to make sure that I get one last segue here. So be sure to download and use the LOA Today app to send in questions or even comments like Deborah just did, sending in that email with all those ideas. Look what kind of show it turned into. This great show of all these different ideas of what you can do to build your own positive feeling, positive activity list. Do the same
thing.
I did give you
the segue for that, but it went.
You lost. Did, yes. But, you know, we were kind of in a thing, so.
In a thing.
Well, I had to make sure I got it in one way or another. That's all
it
right.
It was not the dime.
We do appreciate the segue effort that you make, so I wanted to make sure you're appreciated on that score. Yes. You're welcome. All right, so let's see. We got like a minute and a half before we sign off. What, any last thoughts for people about any of the stuff we've talked about?
Yes, I did want to say, Deborah had said something about journaling, but only when you're in the mood to. Journaling gratitude only when you're in the mood to. I think it's important to do that also when you're not in the mood to. It's just the gratitude part.
It's a good point, because if you don't express the gratitude regularly, it doesn't become a habitual gratitude, does it?
Right.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, that's good stuff. Actually, well, any of these processes, you have to keep doing them daily. Which is kind of the challenge. I mean, there's some days you wake up and it's like,
day ain't the day, son.
And you know what? Every single one of those days where I give in and don't do it turns out to be one of the downward spirals.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do that over time. Eventually you learn, okay, I'm going to do it anyway because I know what happens when I don't. So, yeah, it's a good idea. Just, you know, take our word. Just do it anyway. Just do it. Yeah. All right, very good. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you. By the way, Daniel, thank you for the money game. I want to reiterate, I've been enjoying doing this thing. It's interesting to see how it all plays out, and I'll be interested to see how the last two-thirds work out. But this has been a fun experiment, so thank you for that.
Beautiful.
And also, thank you, Deborah, for sending in your list, because that was a lot of fun, too, going through that list. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the live streamers who were very, very quiet but attentive. And thank you especially to our podcast listeners, without whom we would have a podcast, and who actually do take the time to download the app at LOA Today and go to the page where they can actually send in a question. We like that part. Did I mention that part? Yeah, I think I did. Okay. So with that thought in mind, thank you very much. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye.